Shodanandano Braja Janaranjana. Jashodanandano Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jamuna Tiravana Chari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Pribra Jakacharis the Tarasa Chishishi Maharas Divine Grace Laesi Bhaktivaranta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Rindaki, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Prem Sega Hostiri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Garadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivarindaki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gau Gopakapina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrindike, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Yat prithivyam vrihi yavam hiranyam pashavas shtriya na duhyanti manah pritim pumsha kama hatasya te. Yat prithivyam vrihi yavam hiranyam pashavasriya naduhyanti manah pritim pumsha kama hatasyate. Yat prithivyam vrihi yavam hiranyam pashavasriya naduhyanti manah pritim pumsah kama hatasyate. Yat, what? Prithivyam, within this world. Vrihi, food grains, rice. Yavam, barley. Hiranyam, gold. Pashava, animals. Shtriya, wives or other women. Naduhyanti, do not give. Manah pritim, satisfaction of the mind. Pumsa, to a person. Kamahatasya, because of being victimized by lusty desires. Te, they. Translation. A person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in the world, including rice, barley, and other food grains, gold, animals, and women. Nothing can satisfy him. Purport. Improvement of one's economic condition is the aim and object of a materialist, but there is no end to this material advancement. For if one cannot control his lusty desires, he will never be pleased, even if he gets all the material wealth of the world. In this age, we see much material improvement, but still people are struggling to get more and more material opulence. Manas shastanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. Although every living entity is a part of the Supreme Being, because of lusty desires, one continuously struggles for so-called betterment of one's economic condition. To have a satisfied mind, one must give up his heart disease of lusty desire. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious. Bhaktim param bhagavati prati labdhya kamam hridrogam ashva pa hino tya chirena dhiraha. Bhagavatam 10:33-39. One becomes Krishna conscious, then he can give up this heart disease. Otherwise, this disease of lusty desires will continue, and one cannot have peace in his mind. The living entity, then, they're trying to be happy. That's the basic element that they're doing. But unfortunately, it's thought that the processes are what make you happy, rather than the experience of the Lord's satisfaction. So let's say you perform a devotional activity. Let's say like artik. So the idea of artik is to please the Lord. Right? So now we're going to do this artik. Now in the artik we have paraphernalia, and there's so many things connected with the paraphernalia: the cleanliness, the ritual that's there, the timings, all these different aspects are there. So the whole idea is to do all this very nicely to please Krishna. So we, as a living entity, then it's our nature to please Krishna. And that pleasing will be according to Krishna's desire. It's just like on the body. The hand does what you want it to do, not what it wants it to do, right? Does that make sense? You know, unless you're Dr. Strangelove or something. But otherwise, then you do, the hand does what you want it to do. And it's satisfied. Right? This is, for us in the material world, this is a big, big step to accept this principle. Because even we accept, okay, there's God. Okay, I've tried to control and enjoy everything, and that's not really working out. So there's this bigger guy there, God, and so he controls everything. So if I please him, then things will go the way I want. And that's your position of religion. Is that I'm willing to accept. A religious person is one who's theistic and willing to accept that there's someone in charge except me. But it doesn't mean I don't get him to get done all the things I want done. Right? So, therefore, then, this idea that it's about just pleasing God, just like the hand just does what you want it to do. Right? That's very natural. If you say your hand should, you know, if someone's hand does whatever it likes, then you kind of think that's weird. Right? And then if the hand does what you want, then that's very good. In fact, people practice to get the hand to do exactly what they want, you know, like in some technical skill or an art or a sport or anything like that. And so the better it does exactly what you want, the happier you are. And it's not that it doesn't work all around. Everybody's doing their thing. The hand does what it does, but in connection with the Lord. So this ability to switch that consciousness to, it's about pleasing the Lord. It's not about what I can get God to do for me. Right? Does that make sense? Relating back to that famous quote by JFK, right? So, you're able to do what you want, but what you want is what's in line with pleasing Krishna. You have a nature, you're a person, you're an individual, but that individuality is expressed in its relationship to Krishna. So in other words, we're performing that artik because Krishna has given the scriptures that explain how that artik is done. And the acharyas have given it to us. And so then we do that artik that way to be able to express to Krishna our affection. Right? Because you have to do something. The hand is useful because it does certain things. And it does things that are different from the feet. Right? Unless you're a monkey or something. Right? Or Tarzan. Right? So it has its own uniqueness, but it's in line with. So that aspect, the artik, is a way to express that love for Krishna. And it has a specific function and connection to Krishna, but it's about the pleasing of Krishna. So we're doing these things because it pleases Krishna. We're on time because it pleases Krishna. Everything's clean because it pleases Krishna. We follow the standard ritual because it pleases Krishna. Right? We do it in the proper time because it pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? We don't make it about ourselves. We're not too overly flamboyant. You know, we do it just, it's nice for Krishna. And so that is the aspect, how it'll be nice for Krishna. So you see the secondary aspect is there about the technical, but it's not about the technical, it's about Krishna. Does that make sense? So material means we've made it about the secondary. It's all about the artik. So everyone's just watching how they do the artik. No one really cares about Krishna there. You know, Krishna's an opportunity. I can do the artik and impress everybody how great I do the artik. You know, how I'm dressed, how I hold the things, how I do all these this and that, any other thing that go along with it that are considered cool by everybody. All those also secondary things, whatever it may be. You know, enough beads, enough chudders, something. Right? And then I got the secondary down and everyone went, wow, that was a great artik. But then what about Krishna? The artik is in connection with Krishna. So yes, it's devotional service, but the effect of it gets reduced because it's not so much about Krishna. And then as we do it more about pleasing Krishna, so externally you may not see any difference. You may not see a difference. But internally, that's where the difference is. So this is the point that Yayati Maharaj is making here. That we can't, you cannot satisfy a desire based on manipulation of the secondary facilities, knowledge, and skills. It will never, ever, ever happen, neither here in the spiritual world, in the Brahman, in your mind, nowhere. It won't happen. Because it can't. Right? That's like the hand thinking, no, if I just do whatever I do and it's just about that when I want, how I want, you know, when I want. Then the problem comes up is that how will we be happy? Because we're not doing what Krishna wants. Right? In other words, let's say the hand does hand stuff, but not at the time of that stuff. Let's say there's 10 different things you do with your hand. But when it's time to do number one, you're doing number five. So you're doing hand stuff, but it's not appropriate. Does this make sense? So we have to be able to see that all the different things that we do in Vaidhi, Bhakti, it's to express that affection for Krishna. We may not have it, but that's our intent. It's not that how good we do it and the benefits we get from it and all that. In the beginning, yes, that's there. You do this, then you get this benefit. You do that, you get that benefit. Great. But that's not why the pure devotees do anything. They do things because it pleases Krishna. Does this make sense? So, within devotional service, you won't be satisfied if you're using the secondary not connected to Krishna. So let alone if we remove Krishna from it, and it's just the secondary, like Yayati's talking about. 1,000 years, right? Enjoying his senses to the maximum that you can, that's religious, right? Because you get more out of religious than irreligious, despite the modern, popularity. You follow the thing, you get, because it gets on all levels, the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, all these things are taken care of if you follow things according to Scripture. And that requires, unfortunately, in this context, because we're dealing with external facility, right? He's emperor of the world. Does he have facility or does he have facility? Right? And he's got facility. Yeah. Good call, right? And he's got plenty of it. No one has more than he's got. And for 1,000 years, right? That means he's not getting old during that time. He's got youth. So that means, being whatever age of the youth it is, that you have that for 1,000 years straight with all the facilities. And everything like this. And then after 1,000 years, he goes, this doesn't work. You cannot be satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So we should take it from authority here. Right? Here's someone who's tried it. We think, well, if I just do this, then it will be. No, he's already tried that. Don't worry. Right? And so that's there. It means it's how many lifetimes is that? You have 16 to 20, 29, right? That's youth. So 13 years, right? So that goes into 1,000 quite a few times, right? So that many lifetimes. And to have that facility of the emperor, how often do you get that? That's why we only see one of that in the whole, the last 151 trillion years, we got one example of that. Right? Here it is. Everybody can quote it now, right? You don't have to try it yourself. So he's understood that the secondary, it's impossible. Why is it impossible? We can say, no, but it should be. If I just make this arrangement, get this facility, have this experience, then I'll be happy. But the point is whose world is it? Who's created it? Who maintains it? Right? Krishna. The ingredients are his. The workings of every single ingredient are his. How they work, what effect they can get, what result they can get, what experience you can gain. That's all coming from Krishna. So this is a reflection of the spiritual world. Right? Inferior. Reflection is generally never as good as the original. Right? Does that make sense? So then, it's like, the cowboy's standing there, in the, that generally that profile they have, and then the sun's there, and then you have this mile-long shadow, right? Like that, so it's very dramatic and everything like that. Now, that cowboy you might invite over to your house, but his shadow you don't want, it's too big. Where will it fit? You can't get in any of the doors, right? The guy's literally a mile long. You understand? So there's problems there. Right? He can't talk. He can't, he's, weird shape. He can't do anything. You can't interact. Does that make sense? So that's the whole problem. Material world being a shadow, it just doesn't work so good. But it's similar. So the same thing, the same five senses, the engagement, the relationships, the five rasas, all these things are there. So that whole spiritual world is based on Krishna. His will. Krishna is there. From his will comes all his associates, the dham, his pastimes, that whole exchange of rasa. That's all coming by his will. And so then to support the expression of that will, then you have situations, facilities, knowledge, skills, endeavors, results. Those are all there to support Krishna's will. Right? So now if you take all those and separate them from Krishna, that's what we have here in the material world. We have knowledge, we have skills, we have endeavors, we have results. Right? Those results give a certain experience, just themselves. Right? Does that make sense? And so, that based on that, we're thinking, I will get something, but that's not what they're for. They're there to please Krishna, the person, in interaction with the devotees based on prema. Then they have meaning. Of course, because Krishna is rasa, everything expanding from him will have rasa. So yes, whatever you do, there will be some little experience. But the point is we're dealing with such a small amount of experience. Right? To make the whole material world, then it's said that a billionth of a billionth portion of his energy is required. Right? The spiritual world he uses is full potency. And to create the material world means you take a billionth of that and then divide that into a billionth. That's how much it takes to make the material phenomena. That means the whole Mahatattva. Right? Then within that, then you divide that by unlimited, you get this one universe. Right? And then within that, divide that into 14. And then we see this much, we're on 372nd or something of this mandala of one of the planetary things. Right? And then within that, we're on one continent. Within that, we're in one, you know, country. Within that, a state, a district, a this, a that, till we're sitting in our little, you know, square meter there. Of course, if that's using European spacing, but, you know, local spacing might be a little less. Maybe you get 80 centimeters by 80 centimeters, like this. So whatever we do, just think about it. How little of Krishna's potency is there? So yes, because Krishna's in everything, it's not different from him. You do anything, there will be an experience. Right? That's what keeps these little kids going, right? You have the toddler. They do anything. Take something, throw it on the ground. And they're laughing. They're like, you know, in ecstasy. Pick it back up, throw it down again. They'll do that all day. Because there's something there. But that's all it is. You know, as you mature, it doesn't get any better. It's the same amount of potency. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, they just try to do bigger and bigger stuff to include more and more, but it's still, you're dealing with such a small fraction. It can't satisfy the soul, because the soul, being part and parcel of the complete whole, is only satisfied when that same activity is done in connection with the complete whole. Then you get that full experience. That unlimited experience. You understand? But why is that there? Because Krishna's pleased. Why is he pleased? Because it's personal. It's about him as a person and you as a person. It's not just, oh, I'm trying to get that eternal experience. That's the liberated platform. So this is beyond that. He is a person, you as a person. All the devotees as persons. That then you get something from it. So Yayati Maharaj says, he's tried. You know, you can't get better than that. You know, because it said before, he tells this story, he's expert at these things. Right? He knows what to do in sense gratification. And still, he's not finding satisfaction. So if you ever wonder why we're not satisfied, it's that, not that, well, I didn't get this position, or if I just had a little bit more facility, or a little bit more money, or if this person or that person would interact in this way with me instead of like that, or, you know, like this. We could go, we have a huge list, right? You know, the daily list. Bucket list is a different thing, the daily list. That if those things are just corrected, then everything will be perfect. Yayati Maharaj already did all that, and it doesn't work. So we have to have that faith that it can't work because mechanically it's wrong. We've decided, that's material consciousness. Material consciousness is we decide that the secondary can make you happy. That's just our pronouncement. But it's not only pleasing Krishna because we're part of the whole. That's why the example is given of the hand or the leaves. Only when the root is watered, when the stomach is fed, then you'll get satisfied. It's a very straightforward example. You know, you can water the leaves, they'll look fabulous. The plant looks really great. You know, it just dies looking nice, you know. Does that make sense? So it's about the root. It's about the root. So here, then, that's his point, is that it doesn't matter what you have, you can't be satisfied. So you can only be, and you see, once he figured that out, then he started taking up service to the Lord, doing sacrifices, giving in charity, remembering the Lord, being absorbed in the Lord. That's the only way you can be happy. So take it from Yayati Maharaj. This is the method, okay? Any questions or comments? Yes, please. Do we have a mic? No mic. No mic. You'll have to rough it. Yeah. Okay, thank you. How do you Yeah. Okay, do the energies diminish when you have a small amount or not? No, it's like his incarnations. Because his incarnations are all him. But depending upon the situation, then they only manifest that much potency. Right? So therefore we have Krishna as complete. Then Balaram has that same completeness, those same 64 qualities, but he only manifests 60. But, you know, he has that same intensity, that fullness that's there. But then when he expands as Mahanarayan, then he only manifests those 60 in full, because the mood changes then. Then when he then expands into Sankarshan, then he's manifesting less of that, because now you're having four of them manifesting the potency of the one. Because as the one, he has all that, but there's different flavors of what of his moods. So then he expands as four, as the Chaturvyuha, to manifest those each mood in its fullness. But that fullness of each one is still less than that what it was from before. But Sankarshan, you know, there is still Mahanarayan. It's still Bala, it's still Krishna. But he's only manifesting that much. That's why we say he's there. That's why he says he's in expansion. Then he'll expand. And then in this case, expand into Mahavishnu. Right? And so he only has to expand his potencies as much as create the material world. Then is when he expands as Garbhodaksha, he only needs to expand as much as show as much potency as it takes to run one universe. And then as Kiradakshaya Vishnu, then how much it takes to, you know, manage the various energies and like this. Does that make sense? And so each one, it comes down, down, down. So even the earth, it's Krishna's potency. It's Krishna. But it only has to, you know, just sit there. And that's its job. Right? So everything is Krishna. That's why, for we see in 11th canto, these greatly realized souls, they can see Krishna anywhere. And they can see the earth and the quality of the earth, and from that see Braja Krishna. Because he has expanded all this. You know? That means here he's not directly Braja Krishna, but it's Braja Krishna who's expanded, who is therefore the earth. Right? So all those vibhutis Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, then those are all him. And a devotee can see him in all these. In fact, you can see in anything. You just have to understand the technique of appreciating the superior quality in that anything. Right? Because that represents Krishna. So therefore is that even though any aspect could remind you of Krishna and give you that experience of Krishna, because we don't see it connected to Krishna, it only manifests the potency of what has been manifested for it to do that much. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. So that's why the sage, seeing one thing, he remembers Krishna and gets that full experience of Krishna. And the materialist, you know, he only gets a very minor, right? And let's say he, in his mind, that will make him happy. He's very excited about it. But how long can you be excited about the same thing? You get jaded, you know, then it has no meaning. Even if it's the same thing, same potency. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't change. But because we've projected in our mind, if I manipulate the material energy like this, because when I see a situation, what's the opportunity? I can manipulate this situation to get some sense gratification. So I projected in my mind that this situation, manipulating to get this result, I will enjoy. And so if I have the knowledge, I have the skill, I have the karma, I manipulate, I get that result, I will say I'm happy. But the point is, a sense, that's what's not making the soul happy. It can't. I've just projected that it will. After how many times getting the same result, it starts to get boring. That's where the boring comes from. Spiritual world, there's no such thing as boring. Boring is a material phenomenon. Right? So boring just means I'm not experiencing Krishna. But the materialist doesn't know it's Krishna. So therefore, now it's nothing. Right? Does that make sense? So then, that's why then they move to the next thing. Oh, that didn't work. So why didn't it work? Oh, because either the situation wasn't right, or how I manipulated wasn't quite right, or the result that I got wasn't quite right, or this particular thing isn't quite right. You know, at first you're going to manipulate within it. You know, you're going to try. Just that you're there at the ski resort, you're happy. You can't ski. You go out first day. You just fall on your face. But it was great fun. Then after a while, falling on your face kind of gets old. So then now you have to be able to ski. I bet you just do the regular things. Then it gets more and more extreme, where they're dropping you out of a helicopter onto, you know, this and they, you know, like that. And then now what do you do? Now you've tried everything. Now he'll give that up and go do something else. If he doesn't hit a tree or something, and that's it. Right? So then he'll try something else. Oh, maybe it's not this, maybe it's scuba diving. You know? And then they'll manipulate that until there's no more options. Then they'll switch to something else. Right? And then you have your bucket list. Right? Right? Yeah. So it's a problem. So all you that's why it's said all you have to do is add Krishna. Because that's the missing ingredient. It is the ingredient. So that's why it said we're cultivating Krishna. We have all the other stuff. That, you know, famous quote of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's nothing lacking in the material world except Krishna consciousness. Right? We have our senses, the sense objects, means for the senses we have all the objects here. Spiritual senses, that's a different thing, but we don't have spiritual senses. We're working with external. Means if we are in Krishna conscious, then we can work with the spiritual senses. But then they're contacting Krishna. Right? Is that, yeah. So like that, then the living entity, when he understands that it's impossible, it's just mechanically impossible, like science, that's what you say, it's a science, it's just not possible. But we, out of sentiment, you know, say, no, no, no. And then we call Krishna consciousness sentiment, and we call our sentiment science. You know, go figure. That's the mode of ignorance. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. You know, that's... Is that okay? Okay, very good. Yes. Now, here's Mike. Here. Okay, thank you.
Yesterday's purport was the statement that a person at 50 years old, at the oldest, should renounced from family life.
Well, it's not so much the oldest that that's the right time.
At least. You know, somewhere around the point you have to give up family life.
Yeah, that's the natural point. Like, you can't eat anymore, so that's the time to get up from the table, right? It's a natural time. You could sit there and have conversations and do one of those European dinner things. Yeah, you could do the Roman thing, you know, like that, and, you know, whatever it is, and try to extend it, but that's the natural time to get up.
It reminded me when the Radha-Damodar days, one time Jayananda Prabhu, who was with us, he had left his wife in San Francisco with flowers in her hair and came to associate with the sannyasis, Vishnujan Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Goswami, to learn renunciation and get into the next order of life. And he was giving class in Detroit and talking on this, glorifying the renunciation and giving up that attachment. And then the man in white was perturbed by the Jayananda's preaching, you know, and he started kind of firing on Jayananda with a heavy tone about how, you know, it doesn't apply to us because our wives are devotees. Grihe Tako, Vane Tako, look at Bhakti Vinod Thakur. It's, you know, a wife is suitable boat across the ocean, material existence.
Right.
And all, you know, pro Grihastra.
They knew their Shastra.
Stuff. Yeah. And
okay.
I was looking over at Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was sitting behind his danda, and he didn't like the tone that this devotee had with Jayananda. And I was noticing he started to kind of simmer, and then it just got to a point where he just boiled over and broke into the conversation and said, so why is it that all of our previous acharyas have at some point in their life completely renounced family life, gone to the forest or gone on to the preaching and completely renounced material existence like that? So we see this statement a lot, you know, that at 50 we should walk away from it. And then, at the same time, we don't do that. You know, a lot of us are in our 60s, some are 70s, and clinging on to that, you know, Grihe Tako, Vane Tako thing. So, is there somehow those points are like, it seems like it's really saying directly, like if you read yesterday's purport, not just renouncing in the heart, but really that, you know, the actual physical act of walk of giving up.
So is just confusion between these two?
The question is like, should it really be done, or is it necessary to actually renounce?
Is it necessary? See, it's what we're talking about is here. Is when we say the heart, that's the big thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do you have, let's say, Could you call it a stereotypical situation where some discussion between the husband and wife comes up and it gets very intense and somebody walks out the door and goes for a walk or a ride or, you know, even packs their bags and this and that? And yes or no? Right? And so then, so leaving isn't actually the big thing, because when they walk out that door, have they given up the idea of sense gratification? Or have they just found, at this moment, this relationship's not working for sense gratification, so I don't want to have anything to do with it, since this relationship's all about sense gratification? So being frustrated there, you know, walking out. I mean, another stereotypical is, you know, throwing stuff, you know, like plates and things like that. Plates are really good. They really fly. But I have heard of electronic equipment. That also flies really well. And since the man's really into electronic equipment, it also has an emotional impact, right, besides the physical. Right? You know, so this kind of thing. So you do have people leaving these things, divorcing, moving out, like that, but have they given up grihastha life? Right? So we sometimes make it that, no, this is the real thing. It's not the thing of the heart. Yeah, that, yeah, we know about that, but it's this. But that's, again, the part where I'm talking about the external, the secondary. The secondary has to be connected to the primary. Then it has substance. So the whole idea is that if you haven't figured it out already by 50, then you should leave and go to the forest so you can figure it out. Right? In other words, if you haven't figured it out at 50, there's a good chance you won't figure it out. Right? Because, you know, I mean, basically everything falls, depending on your health and your regulation and that, things fall apart, you know, seriously at 80. Some people, it's before that, if you don't already have a heart attack or something. But, you know, things really fall apart, nothing works. So then you kind of got to, you know, figure it out. But then it'll just be that companionship based on companionship. Because when it says the wife, you know, for crossing the ocean means you're taking, what is this ocean? Ocean is material desire. Right? And so, and how much material desire do we have? If we wanted to list them all, it's unlimited. Right? Yeah. Our arms aren't big enough, right? You know, it's like, how much money do you want? Yeah. How much desire? Yeah. It's the same, yeah? You know, it's unlimited. So that's the whole thing, is that it's unlimited. So to cross that ocean, you're taking it from unlimited down to one. That's the process. You're taking it from everything to one. And then from one to none. That's the process. So if you haven't reduced it down to one, you're not going to get to none. So as long as they keep it that it's just a matter of sense gratification, whoever can give that, then that's okay. This one's giving, I'll stay with them. But they're not, I'll go to someone else. That means it's not down to one. So the mentality hasn't been gained. So when it says that a wife can help one cross over that ocean, it's because now you're dealing with one. You can deal with one. Right? Does that make sense? And so that's what we're talking about. It's not that hanging out with the women gets you over the ocean. Otherwise, then why would we have to go through all the trouble of surrender to guru and all that? That might be easier, though, than, you know... You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of, you just hang out with it. The Shastra would say, just hang out with women and you'll cross over the ocean of material suffering. Right? Do we find any shlokas like that? You know? Even on our, you know, pro-grihasta? You know? No, it's not there. So it's only when it's brought down, and then within that, then the masculine and feminine, because the masculine and feminine relationship includes all the engagements of the senses that are possible. Right? Whatever is there, it's in its fullness there. That's why we say one. You bring it down to one. Now in that realm, now you can deal with the senses on all their platforms. Right? Then dealing with them on those platforms, then you start to see it's not the woman, it's following the duties that are giving some satisfaction. And following those duties in connection with the woman, then that's there. And so for someone to be comfortable to hang around with you while you figure that out, then you have to be grateful for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, it's because it's based on relationship. The whole Vedic thing is based on relationship. That's why there's such a push on relationship. Now we'll have a tendency to say, oh, that's all mundane. In karma it is, but then replacing karma with jnana, it's not so much better. It's like out of the frying pan into the fire. At least with the one you can relate to personal, the other one you can't relate to personal. Right? So it does have its downside. It has to be replaced with bhakti. Now that's complete. So therefore, the senses are being engaged according to duties now for Krishna. Right? Because women like duties. Why do they like duties? Because duties or piety gives good results. Good results means good experience. Women don't like bad experience. You understand? men tough through it, women just don't like it. Right? It means if no one else will do it, they'll do it, because they know you have to do it. But if someone else will do it, why would they do it? Right? That's why it says women are 4 times more clever than men. This is where it applies. Right? And the man, so he does. So the whole idea is that now you've connected, you're doing these things in connection with the wife for Krishna. That's where you cross the ocean, not because you're married. You understand? So that's the whole point. You're engaging all desire. Naistika Brahmachari means he doesn't have any desire, or at least not enough to apply it in marriage life, because marriage life means you need a good volume of desire to be able to work with it. So if you don't have that much, you just don't get married. You know, if all you're attached to is a nice dhoti or some fancy neck beads, or, you know, that's not, well, you don't get married for that. You know what I'm saying? You kind of have to have the, you know, the house, home, you know, family, you know, all those kind of things. So then you're able to engage. You cut it down to that one. Now, if you accomplish that in the heart that is just about Krishna, that's the grihe tako vani tako. Right? Does that make sense? You know, otherwise, then you may not be talking about the Bengali taco, you may be talking about the Mexican taco. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, like I say hot and spicy, right? You know, yeah, so we're not talking, we have to see that there's a difference there. So the whole Vedic system is you figure that out. Now you could figure that out as a brahmachari and just remain as a naistika brahmachari. If you haven't, you've understood it but haven't realized that you get married. The idea of getting married is you know it's not its limitation, but you know its usefulness and getting rid of the attachment to that limitation. That's what it's for. Right? And so, therefore, then, if at 50 that's been accomplished, then one moves on. Right? But the point is you're moving on to the position of vanaprastha. Right? And that means there's a change in heart. They're not grihasthas. So it's still man and wife, but they're not grihasthas. They're not trying to increase. They're not trying to enjoy. They're just maintaining the facility. They've figured out. It means you've been together 20, 30 years. You figure out what works, what you can eat, what clothes you wear, how big of a place you need, what you actually do, your daily schedule, and what works, what vacation works, what conversation works, how much time together, how much time apart. You figure that out, right? At least one ideally should have. And so how much is the minimum that it works nicely, it's comfortable. It's not luxurious, you're not going crazy. That's how much you maintain, and that's it. That's called vanaprastha. Grihastha means you're expanding it. It's getting more and more and more. Vanaprastha means it's not getting any more. It's that much you need. And then with time, you find it gets less and less, as you can do less things and this, and those things go. You know, that bicycle you'd ride, and you keep fit and do all that, and then you can't do that anymore. You just walk, so you get rid of the bicycle. Right? Does that make sense? Things adjust. And so that's vanaprastha. That there, they're self-realized. Right? So the man has his duties, woman has theirs. It's the mechanics of what is the nature that's there. It's not given by us. It's not by the soul. It's just what physical and mental facilities you have. They're able to use those together. Right? And they match nicely. Does that make sense? So then they continue like that, and they can continue like that until they die. And we see in Bhagavatam so many examples. So when it says go to the forest, it means give up grihastha life. It doesn't mean that you have to walk out the door and take sannyas. If that's favorable and you can do that, why wouldn't you? You know, if it's a matter of you and the wife, it's working very nicely together and Krishna consciousness supportive, why wouldn't you do that? If that doesn't work, and for them to be Krishna conscious in you, you need a little bit of space, then you do it that way. But the point is whenever you are together, you can be. You haven't taken a vow, you're not. That's sannyas. The vanaprastha, maybe he goes out traveling, she stays at home with the kids, you know, because now the kids got kids, and so, you know, it's more interesting. Like that. And so she's there, and he comes back every few months and that, and hangs out for, you know, whatever it is, some days, few weeks, then he's off again. Sometimes she goes, sometimes she doesn't, sometimes, you know, this, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Or they do everything together, or they split it up like this. So that's the point. Vanaprastha has the maximum amount of facilities, the widest range between being situated in grihastha facility, but now is vanaprastha, and sannyas. Sannyas is narrow. This is what you got. You understand? So then that's that mentality of moving on for grihastha life, that's what it says one should do at 50. You should be convinced that there, like Yayati, there is no enjoyment. He was fully satisfied with the understanding that there is no satisfaction in the material world. He was fully satisfied that he didn't have to try one more thing to just see, well, what about this? So that's what we're striving for. So this mentality should be being practiced right from the... It should have been already cultivated from brahmacharya. Right? Because then you know as it can be used, grihastha. Then you get a more mature brahmachari. And then if he doesn't, then it's easier for him to remain a brahmachari. Or if he does get married, he'll be a more mature grihastha. But if it's just this thing as brahmachari and that's real and grihasthas are all, you know, out there in the ozone somewhere like that, makes bad brahmacharis and bad grihasthas. And those bad grihasthas don't make very good vanaprasthas. You understand? So when Prabhupada said first-class brahmachari becomes first-class grihastha, we mean first-class brahmachari. But the difference is, someone may ask, one lady asked a question, but why would a first-class brahmachari get married? You know? Like the guys didn't ask this, they just kind of sit there. And the lady went, well, wait a minute here. You know, it's kind of like, is it possible to marry the first-class ones? And we haven't seen it, you know? So it means... The difference between the first-class brahmachari who's upakarvana and the first-class brahmachari who's naistika is one has understanding or jnana, and he's convinced of that, but he doesn't have realization. The naistika has vigyan. He has realization. So he just doesn't need to. So that's the difference. So the training for brahmachari is the same, whether they're going to get married or not. We take it, oh, if they're going to get married, then you don't need to be strict. And if they're not going to get married, then, you know, strict as a thunderbolt. Point is, it's the same training. The same training in what is brahmachari life, what is grihastha life. That separates the two. Because the one, he's not sure if you get married or not. And that, and then by hearing... Then someone will go, no, that's not what I want. And then they're convinced about being a brahmachari. Someone else goes, okay, yeah, no, I could relate to that. I could do that. But to do that, I have to be dutiful and have a good service attitude and be dynamic, right? Women don't like not dynamic people, right? So you have to be, you know, doing something like that. You know, it's like couch potato is not the first thing that comes to a lady's mind when they go out shopping for husbands, right? They think of something dynamic and doing something and accomplishing things, right? So that's brahmachari. Brahmachari is one who's doing. So then it just separates the two. And the two can still function very nicely in their duties because now they have that same mentality of what to do. But one's just going to keep doing that and the other one knows that without that I won't be a good grihastha. Does that make sense? So... That's the whole point, when we put the emphasis on the primary, then we can see the secondary in a more pleasant light. It doesn't change the depth of it or the seriousness of it. It just doesn't make it hard. You know, in other words, the solution to karma is not jnana. The solution to karma and jnana is bhakti. So when bhakti is there, then where karma is used, it's used. Where jnana is used, it's used. Does that make sense? So the brahmachari is using more jnana, but that doesn't mean that those who are engaged in karma, there's something wrong with them. Does that make sense? So like that, one has to appreciate that all the things that it says about the glory of grihastha life, it's all true. But in the context of being Krishna conscious. and all the things that the Shastra says about leaving it are also true in the context of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is the only thing that makes that all hold together. And if you have that, then you have mature grihasthas that aren't, you know, out on a campaign that, you know, people being brahmacharis, they're not being honest and all that. We know them. I was a brahmachari before, and yeah, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, maybe that was the second or third class brahmachari, but first class is something else. So the whole point is that thing where the grihasthas try to get rid of brahmacharis, or where brahmacharis, you know, look down on grihasthas, this is all immature. It's just immature. Because the point is you take whatever medicine works for you to get you back to Godhead. So we can't go into the shop and only the medicine that we take, that's all there should be. Right? We've seen that in history. Right? It's a very common thing, is that whatever I'm doing, that's what the world should do. I mean, I say the library at Alexandria, you know, is witness to that. Is that it's just what I'm doing, that's it. If I'm a brahmachari, everyone's a brahmachari. If I'm a grihastha, everyone's a grihastha. I'm a sannyasi, everyone's a sannyasi. Does that make sense? You know, I'm a temple devotee, then everyone else is nonsense. I'm a community devotee, then everyone else is nonsense. And you know, it's like this. So these are all immature platforms because it's materialistic. We're taking our conditioning and like that without an understanding of the philosophy, the culture. So philosophy is there, but it has to be applied to the culture. So bhakti is very pleasant. Very exact, very scientific, but pleasant. We're used to that if it's truth, it's not pleasant. That's the nice thing. Krishna, it's truth, but it's pleasant. You know, it has its reality, and we have to contemplate it and have to appreciate that. And so if someone does take this very aggressive grihastha side, then, you know, much of the time the natural counter is a very aggressive renunciation side. But that's not actually the point. The point is about the attitude. Right? So the acharyas do because of the mentality. And people are grihasthas because of the mentality. Yayati wants that use so he can overcome this. He doesn't want it just so he can enjoy himself. It's not that after 1,000 years he goes, wow, that was great. Wish it went for another 1,000 years, you know. But hey, you know, I did promise my son, you know, so I'll give him his youth back. But, you know, really be cool. If he didn't ask for it, you know, I might not give it. You know, what is it? Don't ask, don't give, you know, whatever, like that. Right? So, but no, he does that for that purpose. And we see in the Bhagavatam many times, Kardama Muni is an example. He's a brahmachari. But he knows he has enough material desire to warrant being a grihastha, so he approaches the Lord. And his whole purpose is to go back to Godhead. Right? Does that make sense? And so that's the whole, so that mentality is there, but we take it, it's like if you're into grihastha, it's totally that. There's nothing else. Or if you're into, it's this. Why can't it be that this is where I'm at now? This is what I have to do now. And the Vedic thing is, this is what you have to do now, and you have a, you know, 25-year commitment to it. Right? Then you can move into vanaprastha. Does that make sense? Now, we may see couples, they may start living simpler earlier than that, if it's there. There's no children, children are grown up, or whatever it is. Then they might start living a simpler life before that. But as long as they're family and this and that, then you can't be as simple as, you know, a vanaprastha would be comfortable with. And facility. But the mentality can be the same. That's why Krishna explains sannyas and renunciation. Renunciation means I have something, I give it up for Krishna. Right? So that's the argument here. You know, no, we can keep it. And the others, no, you have to give it up. But sannyas is the actual one that Krishna's recommended. It was never yours in the first place. It's always Krishna. So grihastha life, it's not yours, it's Krishna's. Vanaprastha, it's not yours as Krishna's. Sannyasa, it's not yours as Krishna's. Otherwise, the grihastha who thinks grihastha life is mine, then vanaprastha it'll be his and sannyasa it'll be his. Does that make sense? But if it's Krishna's, then it won't be all across the board. So the mentality of sannyasa we see in Prahlad Maharaj at 3 years old. But he grew up, became a grihastha and everything, because in his family, they're all demons. So demons are married. demons, we don't really see renounce demons. You know, it's just that's just they just don't do that. So he's married. Right? But he does all those things, and then his son, his grandson, Balimarj, is also a married person. But it's just about Krishna, so that's sannyas, it's the mentality. So latest is at 50 you should start dynamically trying to practice that. That's the point that's being made. Does that make sense? You should have been practicing before that, but if nothing else, then at least because you've been distracted by externals. So now, why don't we make the externals look more like sannyas? So we'll start with renunciation, because vanaprastha is renunciation. Sannyas is supposed to be sannyas. No, but if you can do sannyas at vanaprastha, or do it at grihastha, or do it as brahmachari, better. Right? Because grihastha is about giving things up. They got lots of stuff, they get rid of it. Sannyasi doesn't have anything anyway. You know what I'm saying? And it's not his anyway. It belongs to Krishna. Does that make sense? So vanaprastha is where renunciation is happening. That's where the focus on. I have stuff. I'm used to stuff. I can get by with less stuff. Not that brahmacharis and sannyasis aren't doing that also. But there it's the major thing they're doing. Just like the grihastha, the major thing they're doing is creating the facility. So the vanaprastha, the major thing is getting rid of that facility. And sannyasa is maintaining no facility. It's not yours, it's Krishna's. And brahmachari, it's not yours. But you're not necessarily mature enough to appreciate that. Does that make sense? Is that okay? Does that work? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Thank you.